Thanks very much indeed. Hello, I'm Alexander Armstrong and welcome to Pointless, the show where we are always striving to find the most obscure answers. Let's meet today's players. And couple number one.
My name's Stephen, this is my friend Helen, and we're friends from London.
Couple number two.
I'm Conrad, this is Carolyn, and we're a couple from Newcastle.
Couple number three.
I'm Mo, I'm from Winchester, this is Leo, he's from Chester, and we're both studying in London.
And finally, couple number four.
My name's Steve, this is my friend and colleague Simon, and we're firefighters from London.
And these are today's contestants. Thanks very much, all of you. We'll find out more about each of you throughout the show as it goes along. So that just leaves one more person for me to introduce, a man who shrugs like a Frenchman in the face of fiendish facts. It's my pointless friend, it's Richard.
Hi, everybody. Hiya. Afternoon to you.
And to you.
I can't believe that last show, literally my perfect jackpot question came up.
Yeah.
Absolutely perfect. Nicky and Dave were there, and it was Top 40 Singles by McFly. I'm already in. Yeah. Top 40 Singles by The Wanted. Even yeah. more so, and then top 40 singles by One Direction. I could not believe my luck. I swept the board.
Mm.
Nicky and Dave, less so, I have to say. We've only got one returning pair from that show. It's Leo and Mo, who did well, got through round one, and then round two...
200.
Join the 200 club. Very, very rare we see people join the 400 club, guys. We'll be looking out for that today. Very best of luck. And podium four, you know what, it trumps everybody when people say they're firefighters, doesn't it? Doesn't matter what job you do. You know what, you can be estate agents, all sorts of things. These two guys are firefighters, so everyone else might as well just give up, mightn't they?
Mind you, actually, Leo and Mo are nearly doctors. I mean, that's quite good.
Doctors, so what? You know what, if a hospital burns down, who's putting it out? Not a doctor.
Thanks very much indeed. Now, every question on Pointless has been put to 100 people before the show. Today's contestants, like all our contestants, are looking for a pointless answer. That's an answer that none of our 100 people gave. Find one of those and we will add 250 quid to the jackpot. Now, Dave and Nicky, as you've probably just gathered, didn't win the jackpot last time, so we add another £1,000 to that. So today's jackpot starts off at a princely £3,000. Right, if everyone's ready, let's play Pointless. Now, all you have to do is remember this. The pair with the highest score at the end of each round will be eliminated. That's all. That's the only rule you have to remember. Best of luck to all four pairs. Our category for round one today is... TV. TV. Can you all decide on your pairs who's going to go first, who's going to go second? And whoever's going first, please step up to the podium. OK, and the question concerns... British sitcoms, Richard.
Something for everyone here, I hope. On each board, we're going to show you seven descriptions of famous British sitcoms. You just need to tell us the name of the sitcom, please. It's going to be 14 sitcoms to have a go at home. Very best of luck.
That's a nice round.
It is a nice round.
Thank you.
Let's just enjoy the next few minutes.
Yeah, let's just do that.
Relax, kick back.
Yeah, kick back. OK, so we are looking for the names of these sitcoms described by these clues. Here are our first board of seven. Susan is the manager of the Linton Travel Tavern. Gary Sparrow leads a double life after being transported to the 1940s. Warmington-on-Sea is defended by Captain Mannering's platoon. Set in the canteen of HWD Components, the Ambroses run a barbershop in Peckham. Father and son live down Oil Drum Lane in Shepherd's Bush. And Torquay hotel owner Basil is constantly exasperated by Manuel. I'll read those all one last time. Susan is the manager of the Linton Travel Tavern. Gary Sparrow leads a double life after being transported to the 1940s. Warmington-on-Sea is defended by Captain Mannering's platoon. Set in the canteen of HWD Components, the Ambroses run a barbershop in Peckham. Father and son live down Oil Drum Lane in Shepherd's Bush. And Torquay hotel owner Basil is constantly exasperated by Manuel. There we are. Seven British sitcoms. Helen, looks like you've just had an epiphany.
Because I'm Australian, so I don't actually... Like, I've seen some British sitcoms...
But hang on, we've seen everything on Australian television, haven't we?
Pretty much. Well, there's Neighbours, there's Home and Away, and...
That's pretty much everything. Helen, welcome to the show. From Australia, how nice of you to come on this way. What do you do?
I work for a fair trade coffee company.
And what particularly do you do for them?
I'm a sales manager, so I look after accounts in London.
Very good. OK, now, Helen, what are you in your spare time?
I play for my local football team, the Brixton Tigers.
Excellent. Now, Helen, which of these caused that expression at the beginning? You suddenly went...
I think that the middle one, I think it's Dinner Ladies.
Dinner Ladies, set in the canteen of HWD Components. Let's see if Dinner Ladies is right. Let's see how many people said it. It's right. Very well done, Helen. 25.
Well played, Helen. Terrific series and terrific answer as well. They only made 16 episodes of that.
Did they really?
They should do more, shouldn't they?
Surely.
Victoria Wood, Julie Walters, Maxine Peake is in it, Celia Imrie, yeah. Duncan Preston.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Now, Carolyn, welcome. Good to have you here. What do you do, Carolyn?
I'm a research technician at a local university in nutrition.
Fantastic. What do you do in your spare time, Carolyn?
I'm a Newcastle United fan, unfortunately, and I like going to see them when I can. And I like the outdoors, and I'm a bit addicted to Latin America, so I like learning about like Latin American history and culture and stuff like that.
Have you been?
Yeah, quite a few times, yeah. Actually, yeah, and I'd like to go back.
OK, now, Carolyn, which of these takes your fancy?
There's a couple that I think I know, but they're probably quite high scoring, so I'm going to have a bit of a gamble, I think. And I think Gary Sparrow was in Goodnight Sweetheart.
Goodnight Sweetheart, says Carolyn. Let's see if that's right for Gary Sparrow. Let's see how many people said it. It's right. Well, 25 is our only score so far. Goodnight Sweetheart passes at 14. Well done.
Another very good answer. Well played, yeah. Nicholas Lyndhurst, of course, played Gary Sparrow, written by Markson Gran.
Thanks very much, Richard. Now, Leo. Leo, round two it was last time that we had to say goodbye to you and Mo with that big, big score. Remind us what you do, Leo.
I'm a final year medical student at UCL.
What do you get up to when you're not doing your...
Well, I play football with Mo, but other than that, I enjoy watching Pointless. I have previously been on an advert for a popular cereal, but that's have no you? Longer showing, so I can't enjoy watching that anymore.
How long ago was that?
That was a few years ago. It ran for a while every now and again. I'd spot it occasionally.
So what age were you when you were
there? I was 17, and I was eating the cereal in a rowing boat for about 6 hours that day with constant retakes, and I've never eaten this cereal again.
Good stuff. OK, now listen. We still have five unanswered British sitcoms.
Yeah, so there's a couple I think I know. I'm going to go for one, but I'm not quite sure it's the right title of it. But I'll go for it anyway. Alan Partridge.
Alan Partridge, and which one?
Series one.
No, but which of the...
which of the... Susan is the manager of the Linton Travel Tavern.
The Linton Travel Tavern. Alan Partridge, you're going to say. Let's see if that's right, and if it is, let's see how many people said it. I'm sorry, Leo. I'm afraid that's an incorrect answer. Scores you the maximum of 100 points. You're getting quite close to the 400 club.
Yeah, sorry, Leo. I'll give the correct answer at the end of the pass.
Thanks very much. Now, Simon. Welcome to the show. Good to have you here. We know what you do. A firefighter. Where's your station?
Park Royal, just near Wembley.
And when you're not fighting fires, what do you get up to?
Play a bit of football. Me and Steve play together, centre mid. I like writing.
What do you write?
Trying to write a children's book at the minute. I've bagged an agent, so just going through the editing process.
Well, best of luck with that. Here's this board. Do you want to talk us through it and fill in all the blanks for us?
Yeah, Dad's Army is the third one down. I don't know about the top one. I thought Alan Partridge was quite a good shot. But, the Ambroses run a barbershop, not too sure of. Father and son live down Oil Drum Lane. That could be Steptoe and son. Torquay hotel owner Basil is Fawlty Towers. Because of the last score, I think I'll go for Fawlty Towers.
OK, you'll go for Fawlty Towers. Let's see if that's right. Let's see how many of our 100 people said Fawlty Towers. Is right. 75. That is a high score.
Yeah, that gives some hope to Mo and Leo there, I think. You would have been better off going for either of your other answers, actually, because you're right about Dad's Army. But Dad's Army would have scored you 65 points. You're right about Steptoe and Son as well. Would have scored fewer points again, would have scored you 53. The other two are the best answers, though. The Ambroses run a barber shop in Desmond's.
No,
would have scored you 9. And the top answer is simply, I'm Alan Partridge, I'm afraid. Can't take Alan Partridge. I'm Alan Partridge would have scored you 6 points. Alan Partridge is obviously the main character in it, but that's really not the title of it, I'm afraid.
Thanks very much indeed. Well, we're halfway through the round, so let's take a look at those scores. 14, Carolyn, very well done indeed. The best score of that pass, putting you and Conrad at the top of the table. Then up to 25, where we find Helen and Stephen. Well done. 75, Simon and Steve. And then up to 100, Leo and Mo. I mean, you're not miles ahead, Mo. How good do you think you're going to be at this?
Not particularly.
OK, well, best of luck. We need a low score from you. Let's hope there's something on that board you like. We're going to come back down the line now. Can the second players please step up to the podium? OK, we're going to put seven more clues to British sitcoms up on the board, and here they come. We have got Compo, Cleggy and Cyril Are Young at Heart, set in the offices of Globelink News TV. Lionel and Jean, once young lovers, rekindle their romance years later. Mike is the landlord of the Nag's Head, the local pub in this series. Flatmates Gary and Tony enjoy talking about women, watching TV and drinking beer. Roy, Moss and Jen work with computers at Renham Industries. And HMP Slade is the name of the prison in this series. I'll read those all one last time. Compo, Cleggy and Cyril Are Young at Heart, set in the offices of Globelink News TV. Lionel and Jean, once young lovers, rekindle their romance years later. Mike is the landlord of the Nag's Head, the local pub in this series. Flatmates Gary and Tony enjoy talking about women, watching TV and drinking beer. Roy, Moss and Jen work with computers at Renham Industries. And HMP Slade is the name of the prison in this series. OK, so, Steve, you're going to try and find the lowest scoring one of those that you think you know. So, Steve, firefighter as well, yep. Also in Park Royal.
Yes.
What else amuses you?
After a 10-year absence, I've took up rugby again. To the detriment of my body.
Yeah, I was going to say. What suddenly made you think that would be a good thing to do?
Playing football, but you know, now...
Not quite physical enough.
No.
He's no good at football anymore, either.
All right. OK, so, Steve, there you are. You're on 75. The high scores at this stage, Mo and Leo on 100. If you can score 24 or less, you'll avoid becoming our new high scorers.
Last of the Summer Wine.
OK. At the top there, Last of the Summer Wine. Here comes your red line. If you get below that with Last of the Summer Wine, you're in round two. Let's see how many people said it. It's right. Ooh, look at that, 23. 23 takes your total up to 98, sees you into round two. Very well done.
Yeah, it was the world's longest running sitcom, ran for 37 years, by the brilliant Roy Clark.
Thanks very much, Richard. Now, Mo. Mo, yeah. You're the high scorers. At this point, if you can score 13 or less, then, you know, you're in with a shout should either of the two remaining pairs make a mistake.
Yeah, not too sure about all of them, really. There's one where I'm torn between two. Second from bottom, just working with computers, I'm going to go for the IT crowd.
OK, the IT crowd. Let's see if that's right, the IT crowd. No red line for you, obviously, as you are the high scorers. How many people said the IT crowd? Hey, look at that! Well done, Mo. 20. You've dodged the 400 club. 120 is your total.
Good answer, Mo, written by the equally brilliant Graham Linehan. It's both my kids' favourite show ever.
Really?
Moss is their greatest comedy hero of all time.
Now, Conrad, welcome to Pointless. Good to have you here.
Hi,
what do
Alexander.
You do, Conrad?
Hi, Richard. Hi, Alexander. I'm a primary teacher in Newcastle, Newcastle upon Tyne. I teach year three mostly.
Year three. Are they lovely?
Wonderful, yeah. It's a really wonderful job. I'd really recommend it for people who are a bit younger and maybe fancy, what will I do when I'm a bit older? It's very fun. It's a bit mental, but enjoyable, certainly.
I bet he's a great teacher, Conrad.
I bet he is.
First person ever say hello to me when you talk to
us. That's nice. I got two hellos as well.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm up. It's good. Listen, there you are. You're on 14. It doesn't matter what you score. I look at the high score, 120. They're out of your reach, even if you make a mistake.
OK.
This is good. Take some of the pressure off, but I'm pretty sure you'll have a good answer there.
Not a bad round for me. I did watch a lot of TV, especially when I was younger, when I had a bit more time. And there's a few I know. Now, the one I'm going to go for is Third from the Bottom. Now, I did watch that when I was a teenager, and it's Men Behaving Badly.
Men Behaving Badly, says Conrad. No red line for you, as you're already through. Let's see how many of our 100 people said Men Behaving Badly. 44. Thanks. Takes your total up to 58.
Well played, Conrad. Yeah, started on ITV, Men Behaving Badly, and moved to BBC.
Thank you very much indeed. Now, Stephen, welcome to Pointless. What do you do, Stephen?
I work in medical research at a university.
And what sort of medical research do you do?
So I'm a statistician, so I analyse the results of clinical trials in psychiatry at the moment.
And what do you do when you're not doing that?
I like playing football, like many people here. I go to the theatre. I like a bit of foreign travel.
Excellent. OK, well, you're on 25. This is where the game's going to be played out. Basically, what we need from you is a correct answer, I'd say. If you can score 94 or less, you're through. Do you want to talk us through the board?
I think HMP Slade was porridge. The Nag's Head is Only Fools and Horses. I think Lionel and Jean were in a sitcom called As Time Goes By. But the one I'm going to go for is the Globe Link News TV was Drop the Dead Donkey.
Drop the Dead Donkey, says Stephen. There is your red line. Get below that red line with Drop the Dead Donkey and you are through to round two. Let's see if it's right. Let's see how many people said it. It's right and you're through. Very well done. Very well done indeed. 9. 34 is your total, the lowest total by a distance.
Well played, Stephen. Written by Andy Hamilton and Guy Jenkin, who went on to write Outnumbered, amongst other things as well. And you went through the board very, very nicely as well. HMP Slade is the home of porridge. Would have scored you 69 points. Mike is the landlord of the Nag's Head Inn, Only Fools and Horses. Would have scored you 37. You're right about As Time Goes By. That would have scored you 10 points, so you got all of them right and you picked the correct answer, so very well played. That's how we like to see it done, isn't it?
Absolutely right. Thanks very much indeed, Richard. So at the end of our first round, the pair who are heading home with their high score of 120, I'm afraid it's Mo and Leo. Oh dear, well, Leo, you can get back to your revision. This is good. There is a silver lining to that cloud, but it's been lovely having you on both shows. Thank you so much for being. I'm sorry we haven't seen more of you, but Mo and Leo, great contestants. But for the remaining three pairs, it's now time for round two. And so three pairs remain. At the end of this round, we'll have to say goodbye to another pair in time for our head-to-head round. Best of luck to all three pairs. Our category for round two today is sport. Sport. Can you all decide in your pairs who's going to go first? And whoever's going first, please step up to the podium. OK, and the question concerns UK stadia. UK stadia, Richard.
Yeah, in a moment, Zander's going to show you the names of four tournaments that took part on various parts of UK soil. We need you to tell us the name of any stadia that staged any match in any of these tournaments from the first round onwards, please. So any UK stadia that had any matches in any of the following tournaments.
OK, so as Richard has just mentioned, we are going to put four tournaments up on the board. They will stay up on the board the whole way through the round. We won't be changing them halfway through. And we just want to know any of the UK stadia in which any of the matches were played. Let's see which those tournaments were. 1948 London Summer Olympics football, 1991 Rugby World Cup, Euro 96, and 2012 London Summer Olympics football. I'll read those again. The 1948 London Summer Olympics football, the 1991 Rugby World Cup, Euro 96, 2012 London Summer Olympics football. There we are. Now then, Helen.
This is pretty tough because I play sport, but I don't really watch it on TV.
And it'd been a big ask to watch it from Australia as well.
Absolutely. We don't even have TVs there. I know there's a stadium called Old Trafford, I think.
And that's the one you're going to go for. Yep. OK, Old Trafford. Let's see if it's right. Let's see how many people said it. It's right. Very well done, Helen. 25.
Yeah, used in Euro 96, also used in the 2012 Summer Olympic football. Had the semi-final of Euro 96.
Thanks very much, Richard. Now, Carolyn.
I was worried when the category came up, actually, but I went to one of the matches in the 2012 Olympics. Conrad got us a ticket for my birthday, and it took place at St James's Park in Newcastle, so I'm going to have to go with that one.
St James's Park, says Carolyn. Let's see if that's right. Let's see how many people said it. It is, of course, right. 25 is our only score so far, and you fly past that. 12, St James's Park. Very well done, Carolyn.
Yeah, hosted 9 matches in the Olympics, also hosted matches in Euro 96 as well.
Thanks very much. Now, Steve.
I'm going to have to go close to my heart and say Anfield.
Anfield, says Steve. Let's see if that's right. Let's see how many people said that. Absolutely right. Look at that, 5. Best score so far, Steve. Very well done.
Yeah, 4 matches at Euro 96 played at Anfield.
Well, thanks very much. We're halfway through the round. Let's take a look at those scores as they stand. 5, the best scorer of that pass, Steve. Very well done. Puts you and Simon in a very comfortable position at this stage. Then up to 12, where we find Carolyn and Conrad. And then up to 25, Helen and Stephen. Stephen, yes, you're the high scorers. You're also going to be the last to give an answer. So let's have a lovely, obscure answer from you. And let's hope it's enough to keep you in the game. Best of luck with that. We're going to come back down the line now. Can the second players please step up to the podium? OK, now, Simon, remember, we are looking for the name of any UK stadium used during at least one of these 4 events.
Well, I'm going to follow Steve's lead, I think, and go close to heart and say Elland Road.
Elland Road, says Simon. Well, you only have to score 19 to avoid becoming the new high scorers. There's your red line. Let's see how many of our 100 people said Elland Road. It's right. There you are, through you go. Oh, it's a pointless answer. Very well done indeed, Simon. That adds £250 to today's jackpot, takes the total up to £3,250. It scores you nothing, and it leaves your total at a wonderful low 5, the lowest total of the round.
That's a terrific answer, isn't it? Very well played. Yeah, Leeds United's home ground and had 3 matches at Euro 96.
Thanks very much, Richard. Now, Conrad.
OK, I've got a few in my head. I've got one big one, which I know it'll be safe. It's going to be quite a high scorer.
OK. You want to be scoring 12 or less, ideally.
I'm going to go for, because I know it's a big stadium, Hillsborough.
Hillsborough. There's your red line. If you can get below that with Hillsborough, you are in the head-to-head. Let's see how many people said Hillsborough. Let's see if it's right. It's right. And you're in the head-to-head. 1. 1 point, Conrad. Very well done indeed. Takes your total up to 13.
Another terrific answer. Well played, yes. Sheffield Wednesday's home ground.
Thanks very much, Richard. Now, Stephen. I'm afraid you are already the high scorers, even before your answer. Nonetheless, I'm sure you've got a good one.
I hope so. I've got a few names in my head. Summer Olympics football. I think the Coventry City Stadium might have been used. I think it's normally called the Ricoh Arena, but they had to change its name for the Olympics. So I think they changed its name to just the Coventry City Football Stadium. I don't know. Or Coventry City Arena.
OK, Coventry City Arena, says Stephen. Let's see if that's right. No red line for you, I'm afraid, as you are already out of the game. But let's see how many people said Coventry City Arena. Oh, I'm sorry, Stephen. I'm afraid that's an incorrect answer for one reason or another. Scores you 100 points, takes your total up to 125.
Stephen, that was a valiant attempt to add money to the jackpot, I have to say. You're absolutely right. They did rename the Ricoh Arena. They renamed it the City of Coventry Stadium, I'm afraid. Would have been a pointless answer as well, so would have been a terrific one. Didn't call it the Coventry City Arena, though, but you were absolutely, you had all the right words, just not necessarily in the right order. Now, let's take a look at the other pointless answers. You could have had Cross Green for the rugby. You could have had Elland Road. We've heard that already. Highbury would have been a pointless answer. The old Arsenal ground. Limrose Stadium was 1948 Olympics. Pontypool Park and Sardis Road, both the rugby. You could have had Selhurst Park for the 1948 Olympics, Stradey Park and the City Ground, the Nottingham Forest Ground. You also could have had a couple more obscure ones from the 1948 Olympics. You could have had Champion Hill and Green Pond Road Stadium and a couple of very famous ones for the rugby. You could have had Kingsholm Stadium or Welford Road.
Thanks very much indeed, Richard. So at the end of our second round, the pair heading home with their high score of 125. I'm afraid it's Stephen and Helen. Well, that was a valiant attempt, as Richard said. And Dan, from you as well, Helen. So well done. I mean, Old Trafford, nice to have a correct answer there. Quite a high score, but still, it could have kept you in the game. We'll look forward to seeing you again next time. And on the strength of this, we know we can expect great things from you. Stephen and Helen, thanks so much for playing. Great contestants. But for Simon and Steve, Conrad and Carolyn, it's now time for a head-to-head. Congratulations, Conrad and Carolyn, Simon and Steve. You are now one step closer to the final and a chance to play for our jackpot, which currently stands at £3,250. So here's the point where we have to decide who goes through to the final and plays for that money, and we do that by making you go head-to-head. The difference is you're now allowed to play as a team, and you can chat before you give your answers, and the first pair to win two questions will be playing for that jackpot. So best of luck to both pairs. Let's play the head-to-head. OK, here comes your first question, and it concerns solving X. Solving X, Richard.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. Good luck in the studio, good luck at home. We're going to show you five problems now from the GCSE mathematics syllabus. Each of them will have a missing value represented by X. Can you tell us what X represents in the following five questions?
Wow. This is fun. thanks very much indeed. Let's reveal our five equations, and here they come. A. B. C. D. And E. Okay, there we are. So there are our five equations. Conrad and Carolyn, you've been our low scorers so far, so you will go first.
Okay.
Okay. If you want to be the hardest, I know them all.
I don't know any of them, so pick one. D looks straight.
I teach maths. It's one of my subjects, actually. We teach it every day. And I've got them all. It's just trying to work out which one's the toughest. I'm going to go for E for 76.
76. Say Conrad and Carolyn. Now, Simon and Steve, the board is yours. Talk us through it.
Scrape to D in GCSEs. Scrape to D. I think D's 49. B is 140.
Happy with D, I think.
I think we'll go D, 49, and hope
okay.
The math teacher's wrong.
D, 49, say Simon and Steve. So we have 76 versus 49. Conrad and Carolyn said 76. Let's see if that's right. And if it is, let's see how many of our 100 people said that. It's right. Meanwhile, Simon and Steve have said 49 for D. Let's see if that's right. And if it is, let's see how many of our 100 said that. It's right. 48. Which means, Conrad and Carolyn, very well done. After one question, you are up 1-0.
Yeah, well played. Actually, the first answer is the best answer. What's the answer to A?
13.
13, yeah, that's right, because the square of 12 plus the square of 5 equals the square of 13. It's Pythagoras' theorem. Would have scored you 14 points. B, you're absolutely right, guys. 360 degrees in a circle, so X equals 140. Would have scored 78 points, though, big scorer. And C, well, 21 take 12 is 9, so it's 7 times 3. So the answer is 3, 66 points.
Thanks very much indeed, Richard. So here comes your second question. Simon and Steve, you get to answer it first, but you have to win it to stay in the game, so best of luck. It concerns songs with actors in their titles. Songs with actors in their titles, Richard.
Yeah, we're going to show you five initials now of songs, all of which have actors in their titles. Also going to show you who had a hit with it and in what year. You just need to tell us the name of the song, please.
Thanks very much indeed. OK, let's reveal our five song titles, and here they are. RDNW, Bananarama, 1984. JWIBL, Hazy Fantasy, 1982. MC, Madness, 1984. GK, Mika, 2007, and CE, Gorillas, 2001. So that's RDNW, Bananarama, 1984, JWYBL, Hazy Fantasy, 1982, MC, Madness, 1984, GK, Mika, 2007, and CE, Gorillas, 2001. Simon and Steve will go first.
The top one's wrong. I'm hoping I've got the fourth word right in it, but I think the top one by Bananarama is Robert De Niro's Waiting.
Robert De Niro's Waiting by Bananarama, say Simon and Steve. Robert De Niro's Waiting. OK, Conrad and Carolyn, do you want to have a shot at the rest of the board? Talk us through it.
Yeah, we're not sure about the second two, but we think Mika was it Grace Kelly? And the bottom one, Gorillaz, was Clint Eastwood, and we're going to go with Gorillaz, Clint Eastwood.
OK, Clint Eastwood, you're going to go for. So we have Simon and Steve on Robert De Niro's Waiting, Conrad and Carolyn on Clint Eastwood. Let's see, Robert De Niro's Waiting, is it right? How many people said it? It is right. Nineteen. Now, Conrad and Carolyn have gone for Clint Eastwood at the bottom there, Gorillaz. Let's see if that's right. Let's see how many people said that. 21. Well done. Simon and Steve back in the game after two questions. It's 1-1.
There's two answers that would have won you the point, and they were the two you didn't know, I'm afraid, because of the Hazy Fantasy song.
It's John Wayne is... I can't remember, something really so stupid.
Yeah, John Wayne is Big Leggy.
Big Leggy, oh, yeah,
that's right. Yeah. Would have scored you 7 points. Best answer up there. MC has actually featured this actor on it.
Michael Caine.
Michael Caine by Madness. That would have seen you in the final. 16 points for that. And Grace Kelly by Mika would have scored you 36 points.
Thanks very much indeed. Here comes your third and final question. Whoever wins this one goes through to the final place for that jackpot. Best of luck to both pairs. It concerns Harold Wilson. Richard.
We're going to give you five clues now to facts about Harold Wilson. Whoever gives us the most obscure answer is going through to play for the jackpot, so very best of luck.
Thanks very much indeed. OK, let's reveal our five clues to Harold Wilson. And here they are. The decade he first became an MP, the party he represented as a Member of Parliament, the year of his surprise resignation as Prime Minister, the title of the Beatles song that mentions both Wilson and Edward Heath, and the name by which his wife was commonly known. I'll read those all one last time. The decade he first became an MP, the party he represented as a Member of Parliament, the year of his surprise resignation as Prime Minister, the title of the Beatles song that mentions both Wilson and Edward Heath, the name by which his wife was commonly known. There we are. Five clues to facts about Harold Wilson. Conrad and Carolyn will go first.
Yeah, there's only two, actually, that we're certain of. We'll go for the party represented as a Member of Parliament, the Labour Party.
The Labour Party, say Conrad and Carolyn. Now, Simon and Steve, the board is all yours. Talk us through it.
We'd like to talk you through it. We think the decade he first became an MP, 60s. We were singing the song, the Beatles song, but we don't know the title. But if you want Simon to sing it, and we don't know the name by which his wife is commonly known, so...
What about the party? We're going to have to go for the top one. We'll guess in 60s.
First.
OK, the 60s. The 60s. We have the Labour Party and we have the 1960s. Now, Conrad and Carolyn said the Labour Party. Let's see if that's right. Let's see how many people said that. It's right. 72. The high score. Now, Simon and Steve have said he first became an MP in the 1960s. Let's see if that's right. Let's see how many people said it, if it is. Oh, I'm afraid that's an incorrect answer, which means, Conrad and Carolyn, very well done. After three questions, you're through to the final 2-1.
Yeah, well played, Conrad and Carolyn. It was 1945, actually, he was elected as an MP, so the 40s, immediately appointed to the government as well by Attlee. 11 points for that. Now, the title of the Beatles song is the best answer on the board, so would have won you the points. Which is the song you're thinking of?
Is it the one that starts Father McKenzie? Is it that one?
Eleanor Rigby.
It's not Eleanor Rigby, no. It's Taxman, written by George Harrison.
Yeah, I thought it was that, 'cause it
would have scored you 6 points. He resigned in 1976, always said he planned to retire at 60, but he would say that, wouldn't he? That would have scored you 9 points. And his wife, she was born Gladys, but commonly known as Mary. And that would have scored you 26 points.
Thanks very much indeed, Richard. So, at the end of the head-to-head round, we say goodbye to Simon and Steve. Well, you've done very well, though. Very well. Good performance on your first appearance on Pointless. We can expect great things when we see you back next time. We'll look forward to that very much indeed. But meantime, thanks very much for playing, Simon and Steve. But for Conrad and Carolyn, it's now time for our Pointless final. Congratulations, Conrad and Carolyn. You've fought off all the competition and you have won our coveted Pointless trophy. You now have a chance to win our Pointless jackpot. And at the end of today's show, the jackpot stands at £3,250. Well, your first and, I'm sorry to say, only appearance on Pointless, but it's been a glorious one. As always, you get to choose your category from the four that we put up on the board. So let's hope there's something up here that you like today. We've got the United States of America, famous Shauns, contemporary pop music, royal births, deaths and marriages.
Shauns might be maybe one actor called Shaun, one pop star called Shaun, one footballer called Shaun.
We could just take a risk with that.
And I've got lots of friends called Sean, so bit lighted.
Well, do you want to just go with that?
Right? Yeah. It's okay with you.
Can we have famous Sean's, please?
Okay, famous Sean's it is, Richard.
Okay, three very different Sean's here, as I think you suspected. Three Sean's from different areas. We're looking for any television programme up to January 2014 for which Sean Locke has received a credit, according to IMDb. So any show that he has been on as an actor or as himself. Sean Penn films, any feature film made for cinema release up to the start of 2014 for which Sean Penn has received an acting credit. And the Irish playwright Sean O'Casey, any of his plays, please. So any Sean Locke TV appearances, any Sean Penn films or any Sean O'Casey plays. Very best of luck.
Now, as always, you've got up to 1 minute to come up with three answers and all you need to win that jackpot is for just one of those answers to be Pointless. Are you ready?
Yeah.
OK, let's put 60 seconds up on the clock. There they are. Your time starts now.
OK. Yeah.
Sean Locke is in 8 out of 10 cuts, but I can't think of anything else that he's in, actually. Sean Penn, I've got a feeling he might have been in Crash, but that might be a bit risky.
Yeah.
I think of anything else that he was in.
He's quite an old actor. He didn't do a lot of films for a long time.
Sean Penn.
He does a gangster film.
He wasn't... I'm getting my Sean's mixed up. He wasn't in...
He was married to Madonna.
Right, yeah. So... I'm going with 8 out of 10, can't even know.
Yeah, Sean Penn.
My mind's gone completely blank.
I can think of all gangster films.
Goodfellas. LA Confidential.
Why else did you want to look
at? 10 seconds left.
Sure, he's like tall, he's got glasses.
I've got anything.
OK, that is your time up. I'm going to need three answers from you. What are you going to give me?
OK, we'll have from Sean Locke, 8 out of 10 cats, even though we think...
8 out of 10 cats.
Sean Penn, shall we just say Crash as a guess?
Yeah.
And Sean Penn, Crash.
And LA Confidential.
Sean Penn as well?
Yeah.
OK.
OK. And LA Confidential. Of those three, which is your best shot at a Pointless answer?
I don't think any of them, to be honest. We'll put Crash last.
Crash will put last. Least likely to be Pointless?
8 out of 10 cats.
8 out of 10 cats. OK, let's pop those up on the board in that order, and here they are. We have got 8 out of 10 cats, LA Confidential and Crash. Well, very, very best of luck. Your first answer was 8 out of 10 cats. You thought this was probably the least likely to be Pointless. But remember, only one of these has to be Pointless. Let's just say, if one of them is, and you leave here with £3,250, what would you do with that, Conrad?
I've decided before I'd give half of mine to charity, then I'm going to take myself backpacking around Africa this summer. So that should help me get a long way there.
Carolyn?
I went on holiday to Asia last year, and I absolutely loved it, so I would cheat on Latin America and go back to Asia on a holiday.
OK, well, very, very best of luck. Let's hope at least one of these answers wins that jackpot for you. OK, 8 out of 10 cats. In this case, we're looking for Sean Locke TV appearances. Obviously, it has to be correct, then it has to be Pointless for you to win. Let's find out for £3,250. How many people said 8 out of 10 cats? It's right. Okay, 8 out of 10 cats now taking us down through the 50s, through the 40s, through the 30s, into the 20s, into the teens, 19. Not bad. Not bad, 19. You'd be pleased with that in normal gameplay, but I'm afraid at this stage we're only interested in pointless answers. So you only have two more shots at today's jackpot. Your next answer was LA Confidential. In this case, we were looking for Sean Penn films. It has to be right. Then it has to be pointless for you to win the jackpot. So for £3,250, let's see how many people said LA Confidential. Oh, I'm afraid that's an incorrect answer, which means you only have one more chance to win today's jackpot, and that is your third and final answer, Crash. A lot hangs on whether or not this is correct.
This was a bit of a guess as well, actually, but we're happy with the trophy.
Well, let's just find out. If Crash is right and if it is pointless, you will leave here with £3,250. How many people said Crash for Sean Penn? No! Bad luck. I'm sorry. Well, you did very well, and it would have been a very popular win had you managed to win the jackpot, but I'm afraid you didn't manage to find that all-important pointless answer, so I'm afraid you don't win today's jackpot of £3,250. That rolls over onto the next show, but as I say, we've really enjoyed having you on the show. It's
Thank
been brilliant
having
you. And you get a pointless trophy each to take home,
Thank
so well
you.
Done.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm lucky, very well played. I hope your kids at school have enjoyed watching you as well. I'm sure they have done. You play terrifically well. Lots of good pointless answers in the Sean Locke question. Let's start with that. You could have 15 Stories High, which he wrote. Have I Got News For You? You could have had, also could have had Room 101. It's been Michael McIntyre's comedy roadshow. That would have been a pointless answer. Soccer AM. Ideal, you could have said, it was on the Big Fat Quiz of the Year. I think you said, Have I Got News For You in your deliberations,
yeah,
didn't you?
Yeah,
so he's been a guest and a host of that. So that's very unlucky. Let's take a look at Sean Penn films at close range. You could have had Crackers, The Falcon and the Snowman. This Must Be the Place. Lots of other films. 21 Grams. You could have had Colours, Gangster Squad, She's So Lovely, State of Grace, Sweet and Lowdown, The Secret Life of Walter Mitty would have been a pointless answer. The Thin Red Line, The Tree of Life, We're No Angels, also pointless answers. Well done if you said any of those. And Sean O'Casey. Bedtime Story, Purple Dust, The Harvest Festival and The Star Turns Red. Very well done if you said any of those at home. Unlucky in the studio.
Thanks very much indeed. Well, unfortunately, we have to say goodbye to Conrad and Carolyn, but we've loved having you on the show. Thank you so much for playing. Conrad and Carolyn. Well, very sadly, Conrad and Carolyn didn't win our jackpot today, which means it rolls over onto the next show and we will be playing for £4,250. Join us next time, see if someone can win it. Meanwhile, it's goodbye from Richard.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me. Goodbye.